Welcome to the Electrical Current Podcast, where you'll hear interviews with inspiring guests, discussions on important trade topics, and encouraging messages for the future of our industry's workforce. Now here's your host, Thayer Long.
Hi, everybody. This is Thayer Long, your host of the Electrical Current, IEC's podcast for all that's new and cutting edge in the electrical industry. Welcome to today's edition, and I am very excited to have Liz McGoldrick as our guest. Liz, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Thayer. It's great to be here.
All right, Liz. Well, it's great to have you. And I'm particularly glad that we're talking to you today because this week we're celebrating Women in Construction Week. And that's been huge in our industry as of late, right? As we're looking through different trends and looking through different things going on in the workplace right now, we're really seeing an interest in construction in the trades coming from women, Liz. And really just today, wanted to get your perspective on all of that as a leader in our industry. So Liz, if you don't mind, let's just start by telling our audience your journey and kind of who you are and where you're from and kind of what brought you into the industry.
Alrighty. So like Thayer said, my name is Liz McGoldrick or Elizabeth. I was born here in Palm Beach County. I work for Electrical Consulting Services, ECSI, here in West Palm Beach, Florida. I started here in 2017. I am an estimator and our safety director and a project administrator. Kind of my journey is different. I went to college for 4 years and played college softball for Alderson Broaddus University. I left there because I had a year left of my education. So I moved back home here to West Palm, finished up my degree at South University, obtained my bachelor's. Before starting my master's degree, I started working here at ECSI. While I was in college, I joined the Army Reserves. I have been serving since 2014, and now I am a drill sergeant within the Army. And I was just part of the cohort 2 of the Emerging Leader Group, where we showcased the Volkswagen with my fellow members, Rebecca Barnes, Carson Credit, Jimmy Sharkey, Tyler Hedden. I pronounced his last name wrong. I'm so sorry, Tyler.
Tyler forgives you. Don't worry. Don't worry, Liz. He'll forgive you.
And John Amer.
This is amazing, right? So not only are you a leading, woman in construction, right? But you've also kind of had this really interesting journey. You're in the military, so you're doing all of these amazing things.
Yes, sir. While coaching high school softball.
While coaching high school softball. Okay, so just made me feel completely inadequate. But thank you, Liz. That's good. That's good. I need to be.
I never like to sit still.
I need to be devising my day better. So all right. So back to starting in 2017, starting with ESI, ECSI. Excuse me. It sounds like you've got a very supportive family. But were there any friends and family that said, Liz, like, you want to go and work for an electrical contractor? Like, what are you thinking? Did you get any of that?
I actually received a lot of that from family friends. They were like, you're too girly for that. Why do you want to go do that? You're just going to be in an office. Why don't you go work? Why don't you go be a marketer like you thought about? And it kind of just made me go, okay, watch this.
And so they dared you and you picked them up on it, right?
Yes. And it was this something at the time it seemed right. And it seemed, and then walking in here, meeting our president, Ken Kettner, and getting interviewed, it made me feel I was at the right place at the right time and where I needed to be within my life.
So let me ask you this. So you walk into the office for that interview, right? Again, you're figuring you're going into a pretty, male dominated, industry. Did you get any weird looks as you were walking in the office for that interview?
Not at the moment. I started getting more weird looks when I became an estimator and we would go, I would go to a walkthrough and they would see me walk up and I would say, I'm an estimator for ECSI. And they would just give me a weird look. It kind of blew my mind because I figured at this time period in I was in 2019 when I got promoted. I figured we were past that. Right. That it didn't matter your sex or your gender, whether to take on those strong roles.
And how did that make you feel when you would encounter that?
I've always been, I'm raised by a very independent woman who put in my head, even though I'm a female, I can run with boys. I play tackle football with my older brother and his friends. And my older brother would remind me and say, "You're a girl." And I would still play rough, just like I was another boy. So like with my mom, how her and my dad raised me, it was, I could do anything the boys could do and probably do it better. And it just made me more motivated to want to keep learning, keep growing, keep tackling the little things in life.
So, you know, I can't imagine, like, and I think people, we always say, "Oh, I could imagine this," or I understand that. Obviously, you know, I don't have any point of reference. We all have sort of different challenges in our life, but obviously kind of getting that side eye, or that, you know, what's she doing here, right? I've never experienced that. What do you do to overcome that? Obviously, you sound very determined. You're a very accomplished, you know, individual with all these things. But, you know, day in, day out, how did you find the strength, or where did you get the strength to push that aside and just continue to persevere?
Part of my strength, like I said, comes from my mom. My mom is my heart, my soul, my life. I envy her a lot by the strength she has. And a lot of times I would talk to her about the looks I was getting, and she would always tell me, "Take it like a grain of salt. A grain of salt is so minute, you don't even notice one grain of salt. You notice a pile of salt."
Right.
And she said, "Let it roll off your back. Prove to them you are better. Use that determination your father and I raised you with to become better, and show that a female can do it." And that's kind of where a lot of my determination comes from. It definitely comes from my mom and my dad, and also part of my military background, because in the Army, when we're as a drill sergeant, when I have a female saying, "I can't do this because I'm a female," no, you're mentally saying you can't do it. If you put the word "can't" into it, you're never going to accomplish it. And that's one word, like, I tell my players, I tell my trainees, never say "can't." Not till you try, because at that point you're just mentally telling yourself you can't do it.
Well, how about employer and other coworkers? Did you find any support there as well?
Major support here with Ken and my other coworkers. They actually, I came into the trade knowing very little about electrical. I joke and still say, all I knew is don't stick a fork in the lights in the receptacle because I'll get electrocuted. Yeah. But other than that, I knew very little about the trade. Ken took the time to show me how to read plans correctly. A project manager here, Javier Hoyos, took me out back one day, showed me different electrical parts, explained different pieces to me for me to fully understand. And when I decided to become an estimator, Ken on a Saturday texted me, "Hey, do you want to come in and work for a few hours?" Ken spent 8 hours teaching me how to become an estimator.
Wow.
Explained things, broke it down. I say Barney style, but it was 2 + 2 = 4. And still to this day, like, I will admit I'm always learning, because if I don't understand something on plans, I'll tell Ken where my thoughts going and see if I'm on the right track, or see if he needs to correct me to point me in the correct direction.
So when you were looking for a career, not knowing much about electrical, what led you to ECSI in particular? Was it you were just looking for a good company to work for and it just happened to be a contracting company, or was there some other motivation?
So I'm giggling while you're talking about it. A good family friend, she's actually a fourth year apprentice here now, was working for Ken, just doing filing and odds and ends around the office during the summer, and summer was ending. She was going back to high school. I kept texting her, "Hey, if your boss needs somebody full-time, let me know. I'm looking for a job. I don't want to sit around anymore. I'm bored. I just graduated. I need something to do." Well, she told Ken about me. Ken had me send him his resume, and I came in here. And it kind of, it fell into my lap, but I think it fell into my lap at the right time, at the right reasons. I'm a full-heartedly, I believe, everything at that time just fell into my lap at the right time, and that's where I needed to be in my life.
Well, it kind of actually is a cool story in the sense, Liz, that, you know, you were just looking for a job, and it sounds like you didn't take anything off the table, right? You just were like, "I'm looking for a job. I'm looking to be fulfilled." And it just so happened that you were working for an electrical contractor, right? Yes. And as you fell into it, you began to fall in love with the work.
I fell in love with the trade. I come from a family within the trade system. My dad is a mechanical contractor, so I grew up with him in the trade. So when I came here, it was something, like I said, I knew I was meant for. I knew I was meant to be in the trade because I grew up with my dad within the trades and stuff. So it made, like I said, perfect sense for me.
Did you sort of know, though, going in that you would be, unfortunately, as you said, even in 2017, 2018, 2019, you'd be very much being the minority within the workforce because of being a woman?
Yes, sir, I did. Actually, I did. And that was one thing, and mostly of all the trades, electrical, mechanical, pipe fitting, welding, plumbing, females are the minority. As much as we try to say we're not, even in the general construction, we're minority. It's one of those things where we have to break the glass ceilings, as they say.
Do you think that's going to change, Liz? And you know, you've been in the industry now for, what, 6 years? So I think that's definitely old enough now to call you an industry veteran, so to speak. Have you seen a change? Have you seen a shift? And even from your own experiences, as you're now becoming now that regular on job sites and you know, known within the construction community within your area. Tell me if you're seeing a change and where, or if not, and why.
I can see a little bit of a change, but then I don't see the change. One reason I see the change, because when myself or our fourth year apprentice, her name's Ashley Lane, speak to a young female telling them, you can do this, they believe it. But we're not seeing enough of an impact of females coming into the industry. Women coming into the industry, because a lot of people, I'm not saying they're not strong-minded, because they are. They're not determined enough to go, I don't care what this man's saying. I don't care what this family friend's saying. I don't care what this friend is saying. And just going for it. What's the worst you can do? Fail. Most times when you fail, you learn a lesson from it. That's the difference about life and between school and life. You take the test, then you learn the lesson. In school, we do the lesson, then take the test.
Do you feel, you said you coach high school softball. Are you able to sort of communicate this message to those, you know, young women that you're coaching? Do you think there's more women that would consider a career in the trades? They don't either feel like they'd be welcome, or that the industry, the construction industry at whole, is not doing a good enough job making that group feel welcome?
I think there are more, I think it's more, they feel they're going to be unwelcome. They're afraid they're going to be labeled as something they're not, instead of looking at them laughing like I would do and say, yeah, I got this.
Right.
Or doing something else. I think it's more women are afraid to be judged or have a label put on them, instead of just walking in and going, here, I'm here, let me do my job and prove to you I'm worth your respect and everything else.
You know, you said your father being a mechanical contractor. Does he ever say how, if this had been when, you know, how women were perceived coming into the industry when he started out? Do you guys ever talk about that? And has it changed from his perspective?
Me and my dad have talked a lot, because he also teaches apprenticeship school. And he's had three females go through his apprenticeship class. One quit. He still does not know the reason why, which kind of really impacted him. But my dad said 30 years ago, when he started the trade, he never saw a woman. Only time he saw a woman was in the office, who was only handling paperwork. You didn't hear about women being estimators and stuff. But like he said, it's just different. He said more men need to accept that women can do this, just like they can do anything, whether it's on the mechanical side, on the electrical side, plumbing or pipe fitting, welding, like I said. And like you said, it just takes a lot of times to let a woman see that they can do it.
You know, that's true. I mean, when you think about, when I talk to even, you know, contractors, and I'm going to just say it, we have a girl in the office. She keeps the books. And they're still thinking through that paradigm of, if there is going to be a woman that's working for my company, she's going to be in the office. She's not going to be out in the field.
Correct.
And I still hear that. I mean, frankly, I even sometimes still hear it, unfortunately, at some meetings that I attend.
Yeah,
I would imagine that you've got to be seeing the same thing.
I see the same thing 100% across the board. Don Sharkey and I have spoke a lot, and he thinks it's so cool how we have a female who works in the field. And yes, I'm in the office, but I'm an estimator. I'm actively involved in all of our jobs.
Right.
I know what's going on each of our jobs from start to finish, even if it's not a job I have estimated. But I'm actively involved with all my jobs, no matter if it's doing the submittal process, talking to the contractor, doing the permitting, or going to the job site to do look at something for safety, or even going to walk a job site to see the progress, check on my field guys. It's one of those things where it's not just I'm actively involved in the office, I'm actively involved on the job site.
Well, right. You have that. You actually have the technical proficiency, right?
Yes, sir.
Of being able to, you know, put a job together.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, can identify, you know, various materials, you know, what it takes to assemble the job. And let me ask you this. Do you think we need to change the language? Do you think we need to sort of get rid of the term journeyman? Do you think we need to stop talking about man hours? Do you think that's part of the problem, or do you think that's not relevant? I mean, I'm just kind of curious because I know occasionally that comes up.
I don't think we should change our terminology for journeyman or whatnot, because to me, it doesn't matter. It's 50-50. It's been something that's been in the trade for years. Why are we going to change it to change our culture? Journeyman to me, it's just the title. When you go to pass your journeymans, that's a badge of honor, which I think's fantastic. Like, I love hearing our apprentices come in and say they pass their journeyman's test. And they know their gender. We know their gender. It was like, it does not need to change, I don't think. And I guess I look at it as an old school mindset. But at the end of the day, you can say you're a journeywoman.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
Right. Right. I mean, it's more like, let's work on changing the behavior first.
Exactly. Right? If you can change your behavior, then maybe talk about changing journeyman to journeywoman, or do, like I said, just call yourself a journeywoman. Everyone will know what you mean.
How has your coming on board ECSI, has the company done approach recruitment differently? And has the company changed its messaging at all as you're going out and looking to attract new people into the company?
We have. We do this thing called Career Source, which helps us help our apprentices get their school paid for on top of us. We also pay for our apprentices to go through school. But it helps us attract a lot of the younger generation, because we go to a program that they have here at a local college, and we're able to attract. They're still green, but they're not green. They're not just coming right off the streets trying to become an electrician. They've already had like 6 months of schooling underneath their belt, and they know how to bend pipe a little bit. They know how to run a circuit. They know how to do some of the minor stuff we do on the jobs, to where the foreman on site isn't having to watch over them every second. He can let them go a little bit, give them a little bit of room on that leash, and be able to somewhat train him more and more, or her more and more. And like, that program is actually trying to recruit more females.
You know, Liz, as we're kind of wrapping up here a little bit, let me ask you a couple more questions. I mean, I think some of our messaging to our, even our own contractors, has been, there is an imperative to diversify the workforce, and it's for a number of reasons. But I mean, do you think contractors are getting that? I mean, do you think they understand why they need to be looking beyond just their kind of typical recruit? And it's not necessarily for any social agenda, it's per se, it's just, there's just a dire need for more people to enter the trades. And our contractors, you know, and I see you attend IEC events, you attend other industry events. Do you think that's sunk through to contractors yet, that they really need to be better about hiring practices?
One way, I don't think they have, because they're still doing an old school approach where you can just talk to any kid and convince them trade school is the way to go. I think a lot of it, we should be going to the high schools. And I stated this during our Shark Tank presentation in Kentucky at Spark, was we are, sadly for us, we are in a generation of social media. Kids live on Instagram, TikTok, and all the others, in YouTube, where they think they're going to be able to become famous through that and make millions of dollars because they see people do that, instead of doing something impactful with their hands, getting out there, getting dirty, working the ditches for a little bit, and working their way up. And hands down, like, to me, personally, for me, that's more satisfying than doing some silly TikTok dance. I watch TikTok, so I have no shame in my game. But I think it's, we have to figure a way to diversify ourselves and be able to hit a kid on social media and show them, just because you're working with your hands doesn't mean you're going to be in that ditch the rest of your life. Look, you can go from working with your hands, going to foreman, running your jobs, explaining to the younger generation how to do this, this, and that, and move your way up to project management or estimating.
Well, I totally agree. And it's promoting the career and the trade to a wider base. I mean, it's not only is it the right thing to do from a moral, social, whatever you want to put on it. Not only is it just the right thing to do, it's also, I think, we have to do it, right? Yeah, because if we don't do it, you know, demographically, you know, as our country changes and our world changes, the construction trades are just going to continue to leave themselves out of the conversation when it comes to, you know, when people are considering what kind of career path, you know, they want.
100%. And like, personally for me, when I was in high school, my high school, like, don't get me wrong, I have my master's degree in business. I went to college. I'm glad I did that. Not knocking that at all. But my high school shoved down my throat, you have to go to college. You have to go to college. You have to go to college, or you're not going to obtain to anything. I think the dynamic will actually, it's not even on the contractor side that we need to change it. We need to go into these high schools and change the dynamic. My high school had a construction academy, but it was so hard to be able for my school to be able to bring in the local union there or an electrical contractor to go talk to the students. It's just now changing, and they're still trying to change that dynamic there. But why aren't we going to these high schools and telling these school guidance counselors or these teachers, don't talk about college. Show them all their options, whether it's military, trade school, or college. Don't make them think they have to go in millions of dollars of debt and they're not going to get a job. Or show them that they can start a career, get their education, and build themselves up.
Yeah, Liz. I mean, I think, you know, when you have conversations with the team that you coach, there's nothing wrong with furthering education. In fact, I think, you know, for all people, we should always be learning, and there's, you know, getting more and more educated, right, is never a bad thing. However, there's different kinds of education. And unfortunately, I think when people think of the trades in particular, since obviously that's our business, they don't really think of going through an apprenticeship program as an education when they could not be more wrong, right? I mean, I've looked through our apprenticeship program. We're talking things, we're talking higher level math. We're talking theory, right? On electrical theory.
It's electrical theory. It's explaining how to do a voltage drop, how to know what load you're pulling on that panel. It's so much other things than just, oh, you're learning how to run wire to a box to give you power or a light switch to give you power. It's more than that. Or how does a fire alarm system actually work? How does the signal get back to that panel or what it does? I completely agree. It's not, we're saying apprenticeship or trade school. It's not just the bare minimum what people are thinking. It's more than that. It's almost as good as going to college and sitting through 4 years at a university taking multiple classes, because you're doing it hot and heavy for 4 years straight compared to where most colleges have time off. Most of these trade schools, you have time off, but you really don't, because you're not only getting the education in the classroom, you're getting it out in the field. You're getting it classroom setting and actual setting. So I think all these apprentices, it's not just, like you said, book training. It's everything.
So as we kind of wrap up here, so, you know, as I think we said at the beginning, this is National Women in Construction Week. What would be your message to contractors out there when it comes to looking at their workforce and seeing how women fit into it? What would be the message you would want to leave an employer today?
The message I would love to leave to an employer is, if you have a female willing to learn, willing to bring value to your company, bring her on, give her that shot. Whether she wants to go through the apprenticeship school, through your chapter, or she wants to come into the office and learn how to be an estimator, give her the time to learn and grow, because she'll probably give you a few dollars, give you some stuff to run for, make you run for your money. And she'll give you a hard time, and she'll probably want to keep developing and helping your company grow and the industry grow as a whole.
And what would your message be to young women out there when they're looking at considering different career paths? Where does a career in construction, where should that fall fit for them?
Don't be afraid to take the leap. Don't sit there and let some silly guy tell you you can't do it. And I know we always think of the one woman photo showing up her biceps saying you can do it. Think about that, but also think that you can do it no matter what. Just put your mind to it. And if you get that ugly look or you get that weird stare, take it like a grain of salt and move forward and show them that you can do it with the boys. You're better than the boys.
Liz, great message. You've been a great guest. Really appreciate your time. Best of luck in your career, both from an electrical career as well as military career. Thank you very much. And I hope your softball team has a really great season this year.
Thank you so much.